Hi, I'm Al Majoros. I am a three-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today we're talking rock and roll and cancer with leukemia survivor Jim Chippendale. He is the co-founder of Love, Hope, Strength. Tell me, you were telling me a little bit before about your story about how, well, you are a leukemia survivor. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I just had my 10-year anniversary from diagnosis.
Congratulations.
In November, yeah. I had AML, which is a very aggressive form of leukemia, and my only chance of survival was a bone marrow transplant. That process was a little more difficult than we would have hoped, in that we couldn't find a donor. So we searched and searched and searched for months looking for a possible donor. Didn't look like we were going to find one. We were looking at less successful courses of treatment, a la auto stem cell transplant, which is basically where I donate my stem cells back to myself. When at the very last moment, we found a donor on an international registry. I've since found out he is from a little village outside of Berlin, Germany, in the former eastern part of Germany. His name's Klaus Kaiser. He lives in a little village with his entire family. He lives on one street in this little village and couldn't be more opposite than my life. He's never been on an airplane. He's never spoken a word of English. He's
really
never even met an American before me, and but selflessly donated his bone marrow. And that's why I'm talking to you today.
That's awesome.
Chance, yeah.
Now, is that a painful process for someone?
Well, that's a great question, and the answer is no. 10 years ago, it was a little bit more painful than it is now, in that my donor had to go under anesthesia and have it extracted through his hip. But today, modern technology, thank you very much, it's as easy as giving platelets or plasma. You basically sit in a chair, you watch three movies, they extract the stem cells out of your blood. It's not even bone marrow anymore. Bone marrow is an old-fashioned term that, we just haven't educated the public enough to let them know that bone marrow doesn't even really being used anymore. So they extract the stem cells out of your blood, and they infuse them into the donor, and it's just like receiving blood. And it's a very, very simple process from the donor side and from the recipient side. Now, there's a lot of complications that go into the new immune system fusing into the body, but as far as the donation process itself, it's very, very, very simple. And, that has been one of my great frustrations over the last 10 years is, letting people know that, because the registry, and there's, hundreds of thousands of people around the world right now that are just like me, waiting for that donor to save their life, and many don't find it.
Right.
And once I tell people how easy it is, that to get on the list, it's a cotton swab in the cheek, and to donate is like, giving blood. They're like, well, why doesn't everybody do that? And I go, that's kind of my question.
So, yeah, exactly.
That's one of the missions of the charity. So we've been doing bone marrow drives all around the world over the last year. We've registered 10,000 donors. We've found 45 matches in just this last summer alone.
And wow.
We're doing all the drives at music festivals and concerts, tours all around the world. I mean, we've been on tour with bands like Squeeze and The Alarm, and we've been at music festivals like Bonnaroo and Lollapalooza and Austin City Limits, and educating people about the registry and how easy it is to get on the list. And we've been very, very successful at it and continue to grow that. In addition, we have, I just finished producing a documentary film called More to Live For, and it's moretoliveforfilm.com. And it talks about three different people who were diagnosed with leukemia,
okay,
who needed a bone marrow transplant and actually couldn't find a donor and searched the world looking for the person that would save their life. And it's a really powerful film.
Wow.
One of the subjects of the film is a very famous jazz musician by the name of Michael Brecker. He has won 15 Grammys. He's played with everybody from Paul Simon to Paul McCartney to Billy Joel to Herbie Hancock, Pat Metheny, and so on and so on.
I don't know any of those people.
Yeah. So he's, and it was his story. He got diagnosed with leukemia, couldn't find a donor, and they did drives for him all around the world to see if somebody would match Michael Brecker. He registered hundreds of thousands of donors, but I won't give you the end of the story.
Right.
And him coming out was a catalyst for them finding, hundreds and hundreds of donors for other people around the world. So it's a very powerful movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I urge everybody to go check it out. We just finished. It's going to be at film festivals and music festivals all around the world next year, with special screenings at music festivals. And it's moretoliveforfilm.com.
Sweet. Now, how did you think about coming up with rock and roll and cancer?
That's what I want to know. Because, well, you know, that you don't usually think, when you think cancer, you don't really think rock and roll.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, I think today you're thinking more. I think that everything is kind of, you know, paired with cancer these days. I
right.
mean, now you've got, with Lance coming out, now you've got sports and cycling paired
mm-hmm.
with cancer.
Exactly.
And so I think it's becoming, you know, it's really strange to think, but it's almost becoming chic to be, you know, involved in the cancer, you know, world. And thank you. Thanks for that. I mean,
yes.
Thank you, Lance, for coming out and being such a strong voice in this world and making it cool, you know, to be a survivor. And I think that music now with our charity and then, you know, the music, what is it, Stand Up to Music that's been, you know,
Stand
the last
up to
couple
cancer.
Of years.
Mm-hmm.
Stand Up to Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Stand Up to Music. Stand Up to Cancer that's been on the last couple of years.
And we have survivors like Melissa Etheridge and
yeah.
Steven Tyler.
Right,
also.
right. Sheryl Crow.
Crow.
I mean, yeah, we've got a lot of people now coming out, and so I think you're seeing more cancer with. But for us, you know, starting a charity 4 years ago was mm-hmm. kind of a natural fit. My business is in the music industry. I own a company, and we provide services to concert tours and music festivals all over the world. And so, you know, when I started the charity, I thought, well, what better way to tap into my business network and my business associates? And then I got introduced to Mike Peters from the Welsh rock band The Alarm, mm-hmm. who was going through his cancer treatment, and a mutual friend in the music business hooked us up so I could mentor Mike through his treatment. And that's how it all kind of came together is Mike and I, you know, wanting to do a charity concert for some nonprofit. We couldn't really find a nonprofit that resonated with our cause.
Right.
And so we said, you know what, let's start our own. And I took all my connections in the business. He took all his connections and musician connections in the business. And, you know, the next thing we know, we're climbing Mount Everest with guys from Squeeze and the Stray Cats and the Alarm and Fix and Nick Harper and, you know, Mountaineers and cancer survivors and athletes. And it was just, you know, kind of an amazing kickoff to our charity. So.
When did you climb Mount Everest?
Oh, God. Everest was 2007.
Okay.
October of 2007.
Mm-hmm. And you summited?
We did not. We actually, our goal for that was to break the world record for the highest concert on land.
Oh, sweet.
And at that point, it was like 18,500 feet, I think, was. So we actually went to a place called Kalipatar, which is above base camp of Mount Everest, and got to almost 19,000 feet. And at the time, we broke the world record for the highest concert on land. It's thus been broken. Since been broken by a group in South America, but at the time we did it, you know, 19,000 feet was enough for me.
Yeah.
But we took it was an amazing journey. Like I said, we had all these musicians along with us, and every night we'd stop in these little villages along the way, and we'd play music, and we'd play music with the locals, and, you know, the 30 trekkers that came along were there, and most of them cancer survivors or affected by the disease in some way, shape, or form. And it was just a really amazing celebration of what we have borrowed the term from our good friend Alan Hobson, the climb back from cancer.
Oh, nice.
Like that. Was pretty amazing. And it was all documented for a documentary that's been out on MTV High Def channel Palladia. And right now it's running on NBC Universal. And it's actually playing December 24th, 25th, and 26th on NBC Universal, which is one of the NBC channels in your local area. We had a team of 100 Sherpas carrying all the gear up the mountain for
us. I was going
to
ask how many Sherpas you had, because
yeah,
I would imagine.
We had a little traveling village. It was amazing. We had about 100 Sherpas and porters that carried all of our gear, because we literally carried the guitars and the amps and the
right.
mics, and we had generators and solar panels. And
well, you know what's funny is I'm thinking of the Sherpas with their outfits and then like a black roadie T-shirt.
You've got to see the documentary. That's exactly what it's
really?
Like. Oh, my gosh. You got to see it. We gave them these black, like, rock and roll cups. Every Sherpa had one.
Awesome.
And these camo cups. And they had, like, the guitar, literally a Gibson guitar off their back.
Sweet.
So they're hiking these mountains at 18,000 feet, and the Gibson, you know, the Gibson acoustic is, like, sticking out of their back. And it's just the coolest. It was just the coolest experience ever, I've got to admit. And the thing about it was not just cool for you know, the trekkers to be along with those musicians, but the musicians came back and all of them said, this is probably the greatest experience of my life. And we're talking about musicians who have played in front of tens of millions of people and
right.
sold millions of albums, and they're like, this is by far the coolest thing I've ever done. So
I can believe that, because, you know, doing something with nature, I think, has a lot more meaning to it, I think, when you're a cancer survivor than just being on stage.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, being able to summit Mount Everest. I mean, I did something obviously, well, you didn't summit, but...
close enough.
heck yeah, close enough. Right, more than right. I would get. I did something called reeling and healing, and it was fly fishing. And you wouldn't think that fly fishing would do anything for you as a cancer survivor, but when you're one with nature like that, it just brings everything into perspective.
Yeah, I think it not only brings things to perspective, but I think it also, you appreciate it so much more. I mean,
exactly.
I don't know about you, but for me, I look at life through a different lens.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
And it's like, whoa, look how beautiful, you know, these fish are swimming in the water and how mm-hmm. crystal clear and it smells so nice out here. And you're so much more in tune with all the things around you.
Exactly.
And that's, you're more in tune when they're positive and you're also more in tune when they're negative, when you're in an environment that's maybe not so. But you can look through that, those challenges, and see the beauty in everything. But being out in nature where everything's pretty spectacular,
oh, yes.
To me is quite amazing. Plus the calm and the peace is, I don't know about you, but I enjoy that a lot more now
post-cancer
than I did pre. And that was another amazing experience for us. But just being in this whole different world, I mean, literally Kathmandu and, mm-hmm. and Nepal and Everest, it's just a completely different planet, really. And just one that is absolutely spectacularly beautiful, and the people are so amazing and loving and supportive, and it was just a magical, magical moment. So I really, really urge everybody, if you have NBC in your local station, you're going to have NBC Universal, and it's on the 24th, 25th, 26th.
Oh, definitely.
TiVo, and it's called Everest Rocks, and it's a great, great, great documentary that was produced by our good friend Alex Coletti.
Okay.
He created MTV Unplugged and is one of our board members.
I've never heard of that either.
Yeah. So we've been very fortunate to have some good people supporting us, really, really supportive.
I guess now I'm looking on your website. I see these things called prayer flags, and I know that has a lot to do with Everest. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what those are for?
Yeah, this is just kind of came about as nothing that we really were focused on. Okay, we're going to grow this and take it around the world. It was just kind of like, hey, we're going to the top of Everest, and everybody, there's prayer flags all in these little villages and nooks all the way, and there's temples up in the mountains. It's amazing. There's prayer mm-hmm. flags everywhere, and we're like, what a great tribute. And somebody laid out some prayer flags, and we started writing some of our people who have fought cancer, mm-hmm. some of them who have not survived, some of them who are survivors, and all of a sudden it just really caught on. So, you know, we not only have some flags flying at the top of Everest, but we've taken them to all the other mountains that we've climbed, which is Kilimanjaro in Africa and Mount Snowdon in Wales and Mount Fuji in Japan and Machu Picchu in Peru. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. And, you know, we have an installation at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado where all these names are hanging on the ceiling of all these cancer survivors at the visitor center there. And it's just really amazing to see, you know, how this thing has grown and you know, kind of our tribute to all the people who have fallen and all the people who have survived this challenging disease.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
So now you do mostly concerts at Red Rock? And I know you said you do lots of...
Yeah, the Red Rocks, we have a booth at Red Rocks where we do bone marrow drives at every event at Red Rocks, whether mm-hmm. it be Film on the Rocks or whether it be, you know, a concert at Red Rocks, fish show, whatever is going on at Red Rocks. We have found, I think Red Rocks alone, we've found like 20 match donors in the last year, which is pretty amazing that we can sit there and then pinpoint, wow, at the Jason Mraz show in 2010, we found two donors.
Oh, wow.
So Jason Mraz's concert basically, in essence, saved two lives, which is pretty cool.
So that whole song, I'm Yours, kind of fits in, right?
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Think about that one. Good spin. Hold on, I'm going to check.
Yeah, there you go. You can feel free to use that. That's
yeah, yeah. Don't worry, I will. But yeah, so we're at every Red Rock show doing bone marrow drives and awareness campaigns, and they've been amazing to us. It's one of the most, if you haven't been there, you absolutely have to go to Red Rocks at some point in your life.
Oh, sweet,
because
yeah.
It is the most beautiful venue. I've been around the world and seen a lot, and Red Rocks is the most beautiful venue in the world. It's a really spectacular place to see any band, but if your favorite band is ever going through Red Rocks, make the trip and do it, because you will not be disappointed. It is an amazing experience. So we've been very fortunate to be there and hopefully be there for years to come.
But you go to other venues as well.
We do. You know, we've actually hit the road with some of these bands and gone to all the venues that they're going to. So, you know, I know on the Squeeze tour last year, we were literally at Radio City Music Hall doing a bone marrow drive with Squeeze playing. And, you know, a lot of our really hardcore musician supporters have just taken us on the road with them. You know, again, like I said, The Alarm, who's Mike's band, and a band called James, a really big band from the 80s and 90s. We went on the road with them for several dates. And, you know, like I said, we're doing these music festivals where we'll have literally be doing drives on site at Lollapalooza, which was really cool. You know, you've got all these kids out there rocking to Lollapalooza for 3 days, but they were, you know, coming to this area called Lollacares, and there was a bunch of different charities and nonprofits there, and we were doing drives and awareness campaigns, and it was really cool. And the thing about us is that we're, you know, founded by people that were in the music business and musicians, and everything about us we try to keep pretty hip, you know.
Right.
We try to have really great merchandise and that people want to wear. You know, no oversized.
Yeah, I was
going
to talk to you about getting a T-shirt after the show.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I can make that happen. And you know, we try to keep it cool and hip, and we're all young and fun in the charity, youngish.
Yes.
And fun, and you know, always a music slant to the stuff we're doing. You know, we resonate with the people that are at these festivals, and the festival organizers love it because we can go back and, like, ACL last year, we've already found two matches from doing a bone marrow drive at ACL.
That's awesome.
So ACL's like, wow, this is so great. We've actually literally saving lives from the festival. So it's really cool.
Now, when you raise money, where does the money go to?
Right, that's the second part of our initiative.
Yes.
We have basically two main initiatives, and the one I've talked about is doing the bone marrow drives. The second initiative is supporting cancer centers around the world,
yes,
so we can give people access to the same types of treatments that we have here in the West that are cures for cancer. You know, one thing that Mike and I felt so grateful for, you know, when we sat down and talked about what we wanted to do is we had access to the best doctors, treatments, and medications in the world. You know, our chances of survival, we had both had really aggressive leukemias, but our chances of survival were much higher than somebody in, let's just say, Nepal.
Right.
If somebody in Nepal gets diagnosed with leukemia, they're dead. I mean, it's a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people get diagnosed with ovarian cancer in Nepal, which is highly treatable and curable, die because they didn't even have a mammography or internal radiation machine to do testing or to do treatments.
Right.
For women with breast cancer or cervical cancer. So we wanted to change all that. We said, let's go into every country in the world as our ultimate goal and help them build as state-of-the-art cancer centers we possibly can. So for Nepal, for example, we provided them with an internal radiation machine and the first-ever mammography machine in the country and training on the machines. And because we went in and they said cervical cancer is one of our highest forms of cancer in Nepal. We don't have a way to treat it.
So
these diseases that are 90% curable in the West are a death sentence here. So, you know, we wanted to change that and give people the best chance of survival they possibly could. And, you know, that's the second part of our mission. So now we have cancer center projects in Nepal. We've the first ever children's cancer center in Tanzania, which there's three different wings, and one's called Love, one's called Hope, one's called Strength that we help support, is just about to open next month. So we have that project in Africa. We have a mobile cancer unit that we're building in Peru, which literally will go out into those little villages and be able to give treatment plus transportation into Lima if they need further treatment. You know, there's most of the people in Peru live in these little villages. So the major issue there was getting the word out to these little villages. Plus, if they do get diagnosed, we can either treat them in the mobile cancer unit or bring them back to Lima. So that was our other project in Lima. And then, you know, not a developing world country, of course, but Wales, we have a cancer wing that we've helped support so they can actually treat more people in the north part of Wales where Mike is from. And we now have kind of the Mike Peters Love, Hope, Strength wing at Glenclwyd Hospital up in Wales.
I don't think you're doing enough, Jim.
We're trying. Come on. We're working hard. I know. I've been slacking over the last couple of months.
Yeah, kind of a slacker, I would say.
So, I mean, we're out there, you know, really, really wanting to. And again, one part of our mission is we really want to take what we call the front lines. Mm-hmm. You know, there's great, great charities out there giving money to research. That's great.
Yes.
I'm not sitting here without it. But if you don't have access to those cures that are being developed, what good are they?
Exactly.
So we just kind of saw a void in the market that which is getting people access to the stuff that's being developed. And, you know, we're really passionate, as you can tell in my voice, about that. And,
I couldn't tell that at all, no.
Yeah. So, you know, that's really where we're headed.
No, I kind of have a silly question, but I'm not sure because I've heard no, but as a cancer survivor, I can't donate bone marrow, correct?
Correct.
Bone marrow, okay. Mm-hmm.
Correct, yeah. Most people that have had any form of chemotherapy or radiation cannot donate bone marrow.
Because that... Yeah. I find that kind of to be a bummer because, I mean, I know I do a lot of advocacy and everything, but, you know, I would feel that would be one way that I would give back, but obviously, I wouldn't want to do that.
But the only way, you know, look, hey, it's just spreading the word because, you know,
right. Guess
what? In your network, there's 100 people who haven't had cancer.
Exactly.
And that could give back. And family members and friends of family members who, you know, haven't had direct, you know, cancer. They're affected by it, of course, because their loved ones had it, but they can go and get on the list. And it's very easy. I mean, you can literally go to the lovehopestrength.org website. There's a button that says, you know, get on the list or donate now. Click on that, and they'll send you a kit at home.
Oh,
and
really?
You put the cotton swab in the cheek, you put it back in the self-addressed stamped envelope, and boom, you're on the list. It's that simple.
So you could kind of pretend like you're Abby on CSI or on NCIS or something and do a little CSI thing or NCIS.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we need to...
Do a little video right there.
Mm.
I have so many good ideas for you, Gemma. It's amazing.
I think I'm onto something here. We're going to totally rip off CSI.
Yeah, there you go. Or NCIS or one of those.
Whatever it is. I don't care. We'll rip them both off. That's great.
Yeah, because that's the first thing I thought of was the cotton swab when you see them...
When you
see
them cotton swabbing someone's, you know, that just got done robbing the jewelry store.
Exactly. Right. I saw that episode, too.
Yeah,
exactly.
I didn't see that one. I completely made that up.
So what is in your future? Like, what is coming up next for Love, Hope, Strength? Or is there anything new going on? I know you have your movies now that you have, or your films, I should say. Yeah.
The our big push this summer is we're going to be really rolling out the film. You know, it's such a great tool to be able to, you know, get in front of a theater full of 100 or 200 or 300 people, and every one of them that sees this film goes, oh my God, I have no idea it was so easy, I'm getting on the list now. So it's reaching the masses with, you know, one broadcast. So that's really important to us, and get that out there to film festivals and music festivals and ultimately distribution.
Exactly.
On a cable network, yeah.
When people see that, you know, ultimately now I would think it's like, oh my gosh, that could be me. And what if I don't have, you know,
a donor,
a match?
Guess what? You die. And it's so silly to me because it's so easy. So the film is a big, big push for ours. We're going to have a big event this year. We're just about to announce. We always do one big event every year, like whether it's Everest or Machu Picchu. And this one's going to be not so extreme from the top of a mountain, but it's going to be very, 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 very cool in its own right. So, go back to lovehopestrength.org. It'll be announced really, really soon.
Oh, you're not on the mailing list. You're not going to sneak it.
I can't drop it yet because we're. Is it
mellow? That's something that I can do. Not necessarily climb Everest, not walking to the store. Somewhere in between there.
So somewhere between walking up to 7-Eleven to get a big gulp and somebody-ing, you know, let's see. What is that? The next highest mountain in the world. I don't even know.
McKinley? I don't know either.
Yes, whatever. Even that is be difficult. So it's somewhere in between.
Oh, okay. Sounds
but
like something
very
I can
cool.
do.
It is very, 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 very
And when
very,
are you announcing
cool.
that so I can post that on my Facebook?
It will be announced in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
By the end of the year, I think we'll be ready to announce that one. So that's coming up. What else do we have coming up? Oh, my gosh. We're doing an event in L.A., kind of a more low-key, just straight-ahead concert with the English Beat on February the 18th at a place called Zanzibar in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
We just set that one. That is going to be just a really cool night out in L.A. That we're doing. So that just got set. And then we're going to, of course, do our Mount Snowdon hike that we do every, I think it's going to be in July this year, where last year we did this hiked up to Mount Snowdon, did a concert on the summit, and then we did a concert inside this 1,000-year-old castle in the hills of Wales. It was just spectacular.
Oh,
so
wow.
We've still got that thing going on. We're going to be doing our Bone Marrow Drive initiative all summer long, and, you know, and I'm sure that we'll find 5 or 6 or 7 other events to throw in there. That'll be always, always, always fun. And again, that's one thing about our charity is that when Shannon, who's the executive director, myself and Mike and Alex, the other board members, George, we said, you know, we want to give people an experience for their donation.
Right.
You know, instead of just, hey, write me a check for a grand, can you write me a check for $100?
Mm-hmm.
We want to say, great, you're going to write me a check for that $1,000. We're going to give you an experience you're going to be able to take with you the rest of your life. So you're getting something for giving something.
Right.
And we felt that was really, really important, and we feel that everybody who's come on our treks and our events get that. You know, like, wow, that was cool. Like, hey, I'm going to go to this event in Santa Monica and see the English Beat in a very small venue, and, you know, Dave's going to be hanging out and saying hello to everybody. And, you know, wow, this was cool for $100. You know, well, I could have just written a check and put it in an envelope and sent it somewhere, but I actually got to see this cool concert. And, you know, when they do our adventures, that's a whole nother level. I mean, they're taking those with them, and they become part of our family. The Love Hopes. Yeah.
So you can donate and go on adventures with you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's how we raise our money. I mean,
okay.
People who come to Everest with us, you know, all raised a minimum of $15,000 each to come on this trek. And that's how we raise the money to get the money to help build a cancer center. Same with Machu Picchu and Kilimanjaro and Fuji and the other mountains that we've done. You know, so people pay or donate large sums of money to come on these adventures, but they're getting so much out of it.
Right, and so it seems like that would be a lot more fun to me than just climbing the mountain on its own.
Oh, no question. No question, because, I mean, you know, we've got that music element that's so cool. I mean, when you're sitting around a campfire with, you know, Psy from The Fix and, you know, Glenn Tilbert from Squeeze and Slim Jim playing the bongos, and they're playing all their hits, and they're just having such a good time and drinking tea, you know, in the mountains of Nepal. I mean, please, are you kidding? You're looking around going, is this real?
Yeah.
And they're the greatest guys ever, you know, and it's a surreal experience to really be a part of our events. It is, and, you know, that's why I think that, you know, what we're doing and you know, as we continue to grow, it's just such a really amazing charity, if I don't say so myself. And Shannon's done an amazing job in making it really happen. I mean, she's the driving force behind it. And again, Shannon's the executive director. And it's just such a great experience. I can't even tell you. So come along to one of our events at some point in your life and really experience
it.
And for cancer survivors, it's so amazing, you know, people who've just gotten through the treatments have come with us. Oh, yeah, we do Pikes Peak every year as well. Forgot about that one. We'll be doing that again this summer.
Is that in Seattle?
Pikes Peak in Colorado.
Colorado, okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't know my geography.
That's quite all right. I didn't know any mountain before I started the charity. I barely looked at one once. I said, oh, that's a mountain. Yeah, where's the chairlift?
Yeah, exactly.
But we do Pikes Peak. We're going to be doing that again this summer. I think that's June as well. Where we do a concert literally on the summit of Pikes Peak, and we hike up the mountain. We've had the guys from Dashboard Confessional play one year. We had actually Kevin Bacon, the actor, and
the Bacon Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they played one year. So I don't know who we're having this year, but it's going to be for sure going to be a great, great adventure. And yeah, so anyway, what else? Holy cow.
Look how excited you are. I love it.
Right. I've blown myself out talking about myself.
it's such a great cause, and, you know, I love rock and roll. That sounds very Joan Jett of me, but I love the fact that you're putting that and cancer together, because a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of organizations, but like you said, you just write the check, or I don't want to bag on anything, but you just do a walk and you kind of don't really see where your money's going because, well, you just don't. But if you're actually donating your marrow or your time, or you see your friend from the alarm, Mike, you can see how it helps other people.
Right, and I mean, some of these adventures, we've literally taken them to the centers that we're helping. I mean, Nepal, again, for an example, we walked them around the Bhaktapur Cancer Center. Here's where the radiation machine's going to be. Here's, you know, they had a press conference, and here's the hospital and the doctors. And, yeah, it's really, it's so much, to me, it's so much more rewarding than a black tie cordon bleu, you know, chicken cordon bleu dinner.
Yes.
I mean, I can't stomach those anymore. I mean, it's just, again, enough. But not everybody has the access that we have to some amazing musicians that have, I mean, unbelievable donation of their time. And we've been very fortunate in that sense. But we are going to continue to push this mission forward and continue to provide, you know, as much as we possibly can for cancer centers around the world, and add hopefully hundreds and hundreds of thousands of donors in the next few years and save lots of lives. And that's, you know, it's kind of makes everything that I've gone through and all the hard work that's put into it worth it.
Exactly. I mean, it's probably why you're right. why you're here to do this.
Look, when it's not like I was a horrible person before cancer, but it didn't save me to be some entrepreneur driving around thinking when I'm going to have my next Porsche. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't. It said, wait a second here, you're gonna get a second chance. You better do something with it.
I agree.
And not just be some playboy driving around in a fancy car and trying to make more money. And,
were you a playboy, Jim?
I was. The answer is yes.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, I used to live out in California, and then I moved here to Michigan. And I think if I had gone through my cancer treatment in California, I would have had a different experience because it would have been just a larger place, and I wouldn't be able to work. I wouldn't be working at the radio station. I couldn't really work that much.
Right.
So, I believe in fate. You know, I believe that I'm here for a purpose to, spread the word of your Love, Hope, Strength and other organizations. And I believe in that. And I believe that's probably one of the reasons why you're here.
Again,
exactly.
You're here and your mm-hmm. role is to do this. And
right.
and you're going to, and this translates into people getting on the list because they'll hear your show and then
exactly.
that person's life is saved. And what's that person going to go on to do? And it's just an amazing cycle. If you start really thinking about it, it's not only totally trippy, but it's also just very, very powerful. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, if Klaus hadn't gone on the registry, Klaus hadn't have saved my life, I wouldn't have started the charity. The charity has now saved, thousands of lives. Those people are going on to do other things and saving lives and doing great things in this world. Whoa. How
exactly.
does that work? And, again, that's go back to my film, and I keep plugging and plugging, but mm-hmm. the film, the ultimate message of the film, after we got done making it, we finally figured this out, was the difference one person can make in this life.
Exactly.
Everybody on this planet has more to live for. Mm-hmm. Everybody, has more records to make, whether it's Michael Brecker or, Sean Adebe, who's another one of the subjects in the film, is mm-hmm. Training to be the first ever Winter Olympic athlete from Nigeria. He has that goal in life, to really represent Nigeria and the Winter Olympic athletes and, just motivate the people of that country and
right.
be a superstar there, just, changing that landscape. And, I had more to live for. But that one life that you save, that one difference you make in this world, it's not just that tiny difference that you're making.
Exactly.
That you think you're making, it is actually a much bigger picture of this world and the difference you're making there. So
I agree. It's all about paying it forward, whether you realize
it
or not.
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
So, Jim, if people want to get a hold of you or check out your website, where do they?
Go to moretoliveforfilm.com to see the trailer of the film and the message of the film, and then we'll be announcing where it's going to be playing, and then lovehopestrength.org to keep up with all our events and get on, register to get our newsletter and mm-hmm. That we send out every month on what we're doing and where we're going. So,
and, of course, you're on Facebook.
That we are on Facebook. Love, Hope, Strength is on Facebook. That mm-hmm. is correct. More to Live For is also on Facebook.
Oh, it is. I'll have to.
Yep. More to Live For Film on Facebook. And Love, Hope, Strength Foundation on Facebook. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm sure if you just type
it. Yeah, Love, Hope, Strength, the Love, Hope, Strength Foundation. Shannon, I'm so sorry. I forgot.
Oh, Shannon, Shannon's shaking her head at you right now.
Shannon's shaking her head at me going, God, you're such a...
Next time Mike's on the phone.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Jim. This is awesome because I love, like I said, I sound Joan Jett, but I'm, I lived in California for 10 years, kind of around the rock and roll scene. And I love the fact that you're bringing rock and roll and cancer together, two great things. Well, not two great things, but rock and roll. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought there. A little chemo brain. Woo!
Well, Hey, let's touch on that. Cancer can be a great thing. I mean, it becomes a motivating factor for
that's
you
true.
And it came for one for me, I don't regret it. I wouldn't change
true.
My life for anything. So, yes, we are taking rock and roll and fusing it with a mission and with cancer, and it is an absolutely very powerful and cool thing.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for saving me right there, Jim. I appreciate it.
Anytime. All right.
Jim.
Well, appreciate it.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. Don't go anywhere, Jim.
Okay.
You can always find me on Facebook, Mel Majoros, because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com Facebook page. Become a fan. I have a new website, thecancerwarrior.net. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.